Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel?
I am Daniel.
Daniel chapter 3. And we're beginning with verse 13, where these words are recorded. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at this time, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the fire, burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments and cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men into the midst of the fire?" And they said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God."
Amen.
Amen. This is the word of God. Let us pray. God our Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts through the passage of Scripture, that you would speak through the lips of this preacher to the hearts and minds of your people in here today. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? I want to say something about diet, devotion, and destiny. Diet, devotion, and destiny. I am depending upon you to read the first 3 chapters of Daniel, the first 4 chapters, to get a full understanding of the context which was read. It's just a portion of the text. The reason I lifted this morning, the reason I believe God laid this on my heart, is because there's a correlation between the conditions of our Hebrew ancestors that we see in the text this morning and the context in which we find ourselves today. You know, and you should know, that there has been and will always be tensions between the kingdoms of the world and the kingdom of God. And that tension will remain until he comes again. But Jesus told us to be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Our text today is recorded to encourage us and to remind us that our God is able to deliver his people from the flames of hatred and racism and persecution, and at the same time glorify himself in the process. At the heart of this narrative are three young Hebrew men who are of the tribe of Judah, who had been taken captive by the Babylonians during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar had gone into Jerusalem and by the permission of God had taken captives of the people of God and taken some of the treasury from the temple to put in the temple of idol gods. As we read this text and as you listen to me this morning, it's important to remember in all of this that God permitted his chosen people to be taken captive by their oppressors. Y'all need to let that resonate for a minute. That God permitted his people to be taken captives by Nebuchadnezzar. It was the divine plan. And as tragic as it seemed, and as deadly as it was, God's good purpose was being accomplished.
That's right.
And his just cause was being executed. One thing that we must know about God is that whenever God begins a thing, he begins it with the end in mind. And his ultimate end is to be glorified in heaven and on earth. The captives were taken to Babylon and the treasures were taken and set up in a foreign temple, and it was God's plan. People of God, whenever you feel out of control of your situation, don't fret, because God is always in control. And his unseen hand is at work in the world. And even the heart of the king is in the hands of God. And like the rivers of water, he turns them wherever he wishes. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. These three, whose names, Hebrew, were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but whose names had been changed by their captors to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were among the captives of the diaspora who had the grace of God, who had by the grace of God benefited from the king's tenuous and temporary generosity. Let me say that again. I got a little tongue-tied, didn't I? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among the captives in this diaspora who had by the grace of God benefited by the king's tenuous and temporary generosity. When you read this account, you will discover that these men had a history, a family, and a culture before they were exiled from their homeland. And according to King James Version, chapter 1, verse 3, they were taken from among the king's children and from the princes, the royalty of the land. And that's significant because it is a reminder for everyone who is in captivity that you had a history before you got there. Amen. This is for God's people. And while they were in captivity in a strange land, they were experiencing what looks like success. Having position and proximity to the head of state, with possessions and material trappings of success in Babylon, they occupied important positions in government and industry, and corporate offices, and they were people of means, but they were still pilgrims in a strange land. They lived well, may have driven high-end foreign chariots. Possessors of American Express Black and Platinum, and had 800 FICO scores. Well-educated, the cream of Hebrew society, living in exile. But it is evident from a careful reading of this narrative that they never forgot who they were and where they had come from. We find them in the verses of this text, where they are because of whose they are and what they represent in the world. Here in our text, we find them in a strange and strategic position, facing a fiery furnace, simply because they would not bow down and worship an idol as commanded by the king. Jesus warned us, did he not, in John chapter 15, verse 19, when he was speaking to his disciples, if you are of this world, the world would love you as its own. But you are not of the world, and because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In chapter 17 of that same book, Jesus said, we are not of this world. My brothers and sisters, you and I are citizens of another kingdom, and we serve the King of Kings. The Hebrews from this tribe of Judah were different. They were different from those who were citizens of Babylon. They were different from those who were citizens of Babylon. They were not better, not superior in any respect, but they were different. And that's the way you and I must be in the world today. We are different, my brothers and sisters. We are not better. We are not superior over anyone else. But the difference, we are different because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We are different because we are born of the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit. The old is passing away, and behold, all things are becoming new. We are new creations in Christ Jesus, and that makes us different. Yes. And it is the difference that was observed by the other people and reported to the king. They refused to eat the king's delicacy. They would not bow down and give legitimacy to the oppressive national anthem. And they would not worship the idol of gold. Three things has to distinguish us in America today, in the world today, children of the seed of Abraham. Whatever your race, whatever your creed, whatever your color, if you are a child of Abraham, born of the Spirit, we must be different. Here it is. Three things that distinguish Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were different in their diet, they were different in their devotion, and they had a different destiny. Number one, they were different in their diet. They were conscientious about what they consumed, not only physically, but mentally and spiritually. Chapter 1 says that they would not eat the king's meat, delicacies, or drink the king's wine. But not only were they discerning about their physical appetites, but just as important, they were also careful about what they fed their minds and their spirits. One can overdose on media, which is intended to program your thinking and shape your opinion. Illustration. By way of negative example, the damage media can do on the mind is what we see happening among our young white male children whose minds have been saturated with violent video games and websites that spew hatred and racism. These young men in the very prime of their life who have just begun to live are so controlled by the violence that they consume that they acted out in public acts of mass murder. You got to be careful about what you consume. Be not conformed to the things of this world. Don't allow Facebook likes and Twitter feeds and Snapchats and reality shows to control your thinking. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has given you the ability to think and reason for yourself. Don't ever let anybody do your thinking for you. Conclusion. I don't need anybody to think for me. God has given me the ability to think and reason for myself. Be careful what you consume. Guard your spirit. You need to guard your spirit. You are under satanic attack in the world. You need to guard your spirit. Be mindful of what you consume spiritually. You are to try the spirit by the spirit. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of scribes and Pharisees, which is hypocrite. You have to guard your spirit lest you be overtaken by some spirits that are not of God. Guard your spirit. Don't be led by the spirit of rebellion.
Amen. Don't you?
The spirit of rebellion is alive and well. And he is active in your house with your children.
Right now.
The spirit of rebellion. You've got to guard your spirit. You've got to pray for your household. The spirit of rebellion. You've got to be careful that you don't allow the spirit of jealousy and hate, the spirit of envy and greed, the spirit of self-exaltation and drunkenness to consume you. Be careful what you consume. Garbage in, garbage out. These men were different in their diet. Number two, they were different in their devotion. They had been blessed to live in high places, but they never left off devotion to God, which is why they refused to bow down and worship the idols of gold when the music was played. They were not duped by the hypocrisy of Babylonian religion. And they were devoted to the Most High God, who would not allow them to bow to any other god. Even in the face of intensified flames of hatred and racism and bigotry, even at the threat of personal bodily harm, our fathers out of Egypt. He's a God who has heard our cries. He has seen our conditions, and he has mercy on us. He knows our sins and has compassion on us. Wherever we are, that's where he is, and he's proven himself to be faithful. Is there anybody here this morning that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is faithful? Here's how the poet said it: great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I see. Unto me. Not only is our God faithful and able to deliver us, herein lies their destiny. Their destiny was to make known in a world filled with idol gods that there's only one true and living God. There's only one God. And to demonstrate in the presence of King Nebuchadnezzar that there is only one King of Kings. In the face of intense flames of hatred, they would not bow down. It was their destiny to glorify God in this world, in the midst of fire. Be confident that you are not alone in the fire, my brothers and sisters, because God is with you. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us, and he's able to liberate. He's able to live, and he's the God of life in the midst of a fiery furnace. 3 points and I'm finished. He liberates in the fiery furnace. In the midst of flames is where our faith is purified. It is in the flames of hatred and racism of this nation that we as a people have been shaped and have been strengthened. The poet puts it this way: we have come through, we have come through our path treading the blood of the slaughter. We have come over a way that with tears has been watered, out from a gloomy past, till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. But I'm here to announce this morning, and you already know, that there is still intensified flames of rhetoric and hate. But because God is with us, and because God is able to deliver us, there is liberation in the flames. In the text, the ropes that bound the boys as they were thrown in, those ropes were burned off in the flame. The fire designed to slay these men only served to strengthen them. It is in the fiery times of persecution that the ropes of selfishness and complacency are burned off. It is in the times of intense political pressure that we learn in the heat that we are free from the bounds of self-exaltation and snobbery. It is in the intensified heat of social and economic uncertainty that clears the dross from our eyes so we can see clearly that God is with us and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is able to deliver us even in the midst of flames where doubts arise and fears dismay. It is our destiny to glorify God in the midst of flame. But not only are we liberated in the flame, we are also lifted in the flame. And then it is our destiny that we should be put in a position that requires us to lean absolutely on God. These boys were bound when they fell into the fire, but once they were in there, there was one in the fire with them that lifted them up, and they were walking around in the midst of the fire. Oh, my brothers and sisters, in the midst of a fiery furnace, God will lift you up. I heard the sounding say, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me and have not let my foes rejoice over me. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me and you kept me alive. God is able.
take you down. Don't be dismayed. God is able to lift you from your failure and set your feet upon a rock. Don't give up hope, because God is able to lift you from despair. God is able to lift you from disappointment. God is able to lift you from depression. God is able to lift you from disillusionment. He liberates us in the flame. He positions us to lean on Him. And then He gives us life in a place of death. And the fire with us is the life-giver King, the one who is the King of Kings. The world tried to kill our King. Did y'all know that? They nailed Him to a cross one Friday. Do y'all know what I'm talking about this morning? He hung there and died on the cross, having been nailed there by Rome. He hung His head in the back of His shoulders, and there He died. He died until the world rocked like a man drunk from wine. He died until the sun hit His face at midday. He died until death got up in Jerusalem and walked around the wild. He died until a mean, hard-hearted soldier said about Him, "Surely this must be the Son of God." He died. They took His body down and rejoiced over His death. They put Him in a borrowed tomb, rolled a stone in front of it, and Rome put a seal around it, wiped off His hands, shook His head, and went back to work. And there He lay on Friday night. There He lay on Saturday afternoon. There He lay on Saturday night. But defeated hell, and has all power in His hand. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad that I serve the King of Kings. I don't know about you this morning, but it's okay for me to live in a fiery furnace, because I'm not by myself. I got one with me who is able. He's able. How many of you know that He's able? If you know He's able, just wave your hand.